One correction. I announced this morning that on January the 14th would be the WIC meeting with Glenn Harris. I'm wrong. That's January the 11th. For some reason, I've always thought that the second week in the second Sunday in January is the 14th. Sort of silly, but that's what I do. So, well, let's take a moment before the Lord and just reflect back on 2014 a little bit and ask the Lord to open up our hearts to His Word. So let's be silent for a few moments and just look back before the Lord. I think 2014, at least in my life, and probably everyone can say the same, we're really not much different from one another, can be summed up as the best of times and the worst of times. Perhaps you came to faith in Christ Jesus in 2014 and were baptized. Perhaps you took steps of discipleship that firmed up and expanded your life and worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you experienced births in your family, children, grandchildren. Others of you were married, or your sons and daughters or grandchildren were married. There were graduations, promotions. But on the other side of the ledger, there was death. Maybe there was divorce for somebody in your family or amongst a close friend. Troubles of various kinds, problems at work, struggles with children, struggles at school, perhaps, job loss, maybe you struggled with cancer or some other disease of another sort, maybe there were financial distresses, certainly there was spiritual warfare going on. Some events in life have no positive answers this side of eternity. We have to trust that the Lord is working all things together for His good. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are the called according to His purpose. So we press on. And occasionally we refocus, relying on the presence and the promises of God to carry us through. And as we reflect and refocus, I'd like to share with you some thoughts that have been helpful to me over the past 34 years or so that I've been in Christ. And these sort of are maybe positional things, positional truths, and we'll talk about that a bit, but they help me to refocus. First is that our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians 3:21. Secondly, we are ambassadors. We represent the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. Third, we live in a beautiful but a fallen world. As children of the Lord, we're strangers and aliens, proclaiming a gospel of salvation. Fourth, our personal mission here, especially as we were reminded this morning, is not forever. We will all die if the Lord be not come. And we need to number our days and do the best that we can for our Lord. And we do that in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. We do that as we get to know our Lord through the reading and the application of His Word. Because reading the Word simply in itself, while good, if you don't do it, you're missing out on a key component. Prayer is so very important as well. And another thing not to be left out is fellowship. Fellowship with other Christians is critical to our growth in the Lord Jesus, and it's critical to our stability in our Lord Jesus Christ as well, because we're not meant to be alone. We're meant to be part of a body. Part of a body that functions together. And if you're not here, that body is not functioning properly. You are important. And that's significant. Because when we come before the Lord Jesus Christ, we come before him as individuals. As individuals, we come into the kingdom. And we're made part of the body. Each of us has a role. And we'll talk about that a bit. So first, our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul wrote the epistle to Philippians while he was in prison, one of his prison epistles, a difficult time in his life, yet a time of great exaltation for him. Because with the Apostle Paul, he never forgot his commission. He never forgot why he was here and what he was to accomplish. He didn't take his eyes off the mark. Certainly he sinned, as we all do, and we know of his great struggles in the book of Romans, chapter 7. But he kept pressing on. So our Lord said in the New Testament, as you read through especially the Gospel of John, that his kingdom is not of this world, and we really are not of this world as well. By faith in Christ Jesus, you know, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, it was a decision on your part as part of the work of the Holy Spirit within you. And when you did that, a lot of things happened all at once. You were adopted. You were made a son. You were made a daughter of the Lord Jesus. And you were given a new position. You can read Ephesians chapter 1, and it talks about that position and our standing in heaven. It mentions that in Ephesians chapter 1 that we're seated in heavenly places. We're predestined to adoption as sons. We have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of trespasses. This is a glorious paragraph that the Apostle Paul wrote. No punctuation whatsoever. It just streams out of him. He talked about the glorious inheritance that we have. He talked of the fact that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And with these great truths as our foundation in our lives, we move forward into the world with a hope and a confidence of a salvation that is sure. The devil in the world can kill the body, but the soul and the spirit are eternally secure, and the Lord will resurrect the body. So you already have a standing that's in heaven. You are known in heaven. You can go through the book of Isaiah, and it talks about being written on the palm of his hand. We have so much that's ready for us in heaven. In John 14, the Lord told his disciples not to worry. Behold, I go before you to prepare a place. And as children of God, all these things are ours. They're waiting for us. And they should give us hope. They should give us a confidence as we go out into the world. Because when we go out into the world, you go as a child of the King. I go as a child of the King. And we bear a message. We bear a message that's powerful. We bear a message which, according to when it was preached by these few Christians, there were relatively few Christians in the world in the book of Acts, maybe just a few thousand. But when they took the gospel to Thessalonica, they were identified as people who have turned the world upside down. They were fishermen. They were common people. Common people empowered by a powerful God. People who have a citizenship, a standing in heaven. Second, we're ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ has given all of us the position of ambassador. You are a witness, but you're an ambassador as well. If you're a citizen of heaven and you're down here and you're a Christian, you're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. You're representing the nation of heaven, as it were, to the nations of this earth, to whatever nations that we're in. We're in the United States of America. We're in a nation that is predominantly Christian. But we know it's sort of moving in a direction that is decidedly unchristian. And our position as ambassadors become more and more difficult, because we're proclaiming a message and a gospel that is exclusive. It is not inclusive. It is not Jesus Christ and another person or another thought or another idea. It's Jesus alone. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is no other name given under heaven amongst men by which we should be saved, or by which we can be saved. And that message isn't very well accepted by people, because people are spiritually dead. And it's our job as ambassadors and as witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ to bring a message to people who don't really want to hear it. But when they hear, when the word goes forth and that seed is planted, the Holy Spirit can water that. And other people can come along. And I don't know about your testimony so much, but mine was, when I first was given that seed, I tried to throw that seed away. So that seed was planted many times, perhaps, okay, depending on how you want to look at it. But over time, through prayer and the watering of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit, my eyes were opened. So it's a hard work that we do as ambassadors, as witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to put up with people who don't necessarily want to hear it. And it gets worse as you get out of the Western world and into the Eastern world, where ambassadors of Christ are not looked up at. The gospel of the Lord Jesus is not honored in many lands. Here in America, at least, you get you get some acceptance to some degree. But in other countries, you can literally be thrown in prison for accepting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And we've talked about that. So, as ambassadors, we're conduits from heaven to earth. We have a message, but we don't all also have a message. We have a lifestyle, and we are to bring physical blessings to the earth as well, in the same way that the Lord Jesus Christ did. Think of the work that's going on in the third world. As ambassadors of heaven, missionaries are bringing food. Missionaries are bringing medicine. Missionaries are bringing education, both in a classroom, vocational work as well. Improve farming methods, teaching people how to dig wells and get water and that kind of thing. Work that the Hamiltons are doing. And so many other missionaries that we support as well. So as ambassadors, it's just not a message. It's a life that we share with the world. Because even though our citizenship is in heaven, we're from here. We're from the earth. We're amongst those who are created in the image of God, and we bear a relationship to them. And our hearts go out to them in the same way that the Lord Jesus' heart went out to them as well. So we're also on a rescue mission as well. So many people don't realize that they're drowning. They're drowning in their sin. And we have a lifeline that we can throw out to them, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we show people that we're just not interested in numbers, but we're interested in them as people. And that's important, and that's significant. That's why we make friends of people in the world. A few years ago, I was challenged by someone here. He asked me, how many friends do you have outside of the church? I was like, well, I got people I work with, you know, and that kind of thing. But I tell you, over the past 3 years, Robin and I have acquired so many, I mean, we've met so many people that have become our friends. And it's just opened up, it just opened up the world to us. So, you know, God is doing great things, but you got to be willing to take a step. You know, you're an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a witness, you're a missionary, you're so many different things. But like Abraham, when he heard the call, all those things are good, but all those things in heaven are good and true, but you got to walk. You got to do it. You got to take a step of faith. You have to do the good works. When you do things, these are good works that the Lord Jesus Christ has appointed that we should walk in. Ephesians chapter 2. Another great song by Michael Card talks about the poem of our life and that. And we should be a sweet fragrance in this world. And that's why sometimes we need to refocus. Times such as the breaking of bread are good to refocus on a weekly basis. But the end of the year is a good time to refocus as well, to look back on the past and to look into the future. Very important. And we have to remember that a lot of what we do perhaps won't be recognized. Maybe the fruit of your ministries won't be realized on this earth. You know, recently, and this happens to all of us, I think, at one time or another, who are involved in some type of ministry, you hear something from somebody after 20 years, maybe, after 30 years, and it's an encouragement, you know. But what about all those other people? And we never know until we're in heaven, and we hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. By a step of faith, we have to persevere. Because we're not looking for results. We don't take censuses and that kind of thing. We wait on the Lord. We do the work of the Lord, and we let Him reward in His time, which is going to be in heaven. So, all that we do is significant. And we need to have the faith to work for Him and not the praise of men. And it can be difficult, but if you reorientate yourself and you develop that mindset of a Christian according to the New Testament, it can be done to get your eyes off yourself and onto the Lord and onto people. It's a difficult step to take, especially if you're sort of introverted, but you can do it. And it's important to remember as well as we minister the gospel and as we serve that we're not trying to reform sinners. You know, we see a lot of Christians standing for social causes, and those are good. It's good to improve the quality of a person's life by having them repent of their sin. But remember, even if they change their lifestyle and if they don't come to Christ, they might be reformed and they might be a blessing to their family and so on, but they still need a Savior. They still need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's something we should remember with all the social causes that are going on. We got to have the right perspective. Yes, we want people to improve the quality of their lives, but we really want people to do what's best and accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Then there's really a holistic approach, if you would, as to what's going on. Third, we live in a beautiful but a fallen world. You know, in 2014, there are so many nature shows on that show the awesome power of God in the world. And we're descending to depths in the Marianas Trench that we've never seen before. We're ascending to heights on the earth, but it's still a fallen world. And especially morally, it's a fallen world. And we see that every day. We see it every day in the United States with the death of a 19-year-old that I read about. Or certainly maybe you've been following the unfortunate and horrible circumstances in New York with the death of the two police officers. And we're reading more about police officers who are being killed and who are coming under attack. It's a fallen world that we live in. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers," remember, we're citizens of heaven, "to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, on account of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation." Remember, prohibitions in Scripture as to worldliness relate to behavior and participation in evil deeds, not to having friends and trying to make a difference with the love of the Lord Jesus, as we said before. There's nothing disingenuous about this perspective, because the love that the Lord Jesus calls us to have is a real love. See, the real point of separation is the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. It's like with Islam. We read a lot about Islam today, and people point out this about Islam and that about Islam, and it's bad for this reason and it's bad for that reason. And those things maybe are true in that, but that's not the real point of separation with Islam, because we have a lot of problems in our own in Christian world as well that are horrendous and need to be dealt with too. But the real point of separation with Islam is Jesus Christ. It's the person of Jesus Christ. It's their belief in the triune God. And we need to remember that as we reach out into this world. The real point of separation is the Lord Jesus. And that's the one that we're trying to present. And that's why, as Christians, we sometimes have to be willing to go into places that are very difficult to minister. It says in verses 20 to 23. Just want to see if you're paying attention. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire. And of some, have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh." There's danger in being an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a danger in being a witness. There's a danger in being a missionary. We're going into places that are difficult. But on top of that, we have to be aware of our own weaknesses. Yes, we have freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ to do so much. But we have to take heed to ourselves as to our strengths and our weakness as well. Maybe there's some places we shouldn't go. Maybe there's some things we shouldn't do with people. We have to judge what our real freedom is, because if we take advantage of freedom and we fall into bondage, then we're in trouble. We're in real trouble. So we need to pay heed to ourselves. We have to know ourselves. It's part of examining ourselves and focusing and so on. And if you fell into sin in 2014, and certainly all of us fall into sin to some degree or another, but certainly we reap what we sow. But God is able, even if you made a mess of it in 2014, God is able to turn the ashes of your life into something that's beautiful. It says in Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 3, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. You are his child. You are a citizen of heaven. You are an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we fall. Sometimes we get into trouble. And as Christians, we're not supposed to kill our wounded. We're supposed to have mercy, remembering our own weaknesses. And that's a problem with Christians in the world. That's a problem with me. Sometimes you get that degree of self-righteousness that springs up for some reason or another. And it makes Christians sometimes very difficult to be around because we think, judge not lest you be judged, had a cultural context 2,000 years ago but doesn't apply to me today. Well, that's wrong. It has a context that applies to us today. And we got to get a handle on that, or we're not going to be able to minister to anyone. Because if we don't see our own faults and our own weaknesses and deal with those, it's going to be difficult to deal with others that the Lord may want to use us for. So the Lord Jesus is not going to throw you away because of your sin. He's made a promise, and he's going to keep it. That's part of that great chain in Ephesians chapter 1, if you would. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You've been pledged. And with God, a promise or a pledge is just as good as it happening. Our brother Dave Marshall, he is in the presence of the Lord today. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You can count on that. That is truth, and it will be truth for you as well if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. Finally, we need to learn as the psalmist says. It says in Psalm chapter 90 in verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Perhaps as you earlier reflected on 2014, you realized the need to rid yourself of an idea that at some later date you can start to serve the Lord. You hear that all the time with some people. You know, Leo or whomever, I really would like to serve the Lord, but there's this that I want to do first. And you see it, there's nothing new. You go right back to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ when the Lord called people to discipleship. Well, let me bury my father first. Maybe when I'm older, I'll be better able to serve the Lord. You know, and people sort of hope that that gets you out of the way in that. But we think there's always a tomorrow, but tomorrow is now. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. We read all the time of people of all different ages dying, from in the womb to 100-some years old. Somebody dying every day. Could be you. Could be me. And it's better to go serving the Lord. And you can do that. You can do that. It's not difficult. The Lord knows our frame. He knows we're but dust. He knows maybe we're a bunch of Moseses who have no confidence in the words that come out of their mouth or in their power to do anything. But you know what? You're just the kind of person then that God wants. Because God doesn't come to the rich and the powerful necessarily. He comes to everyday people because the glory is for God. The glory is not for man or for woman. The glory is for God. So if you're weak and you want to serve Christ, you can do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. But you got to step outside of yourself. You got to see the greater calling in life. You got to realize your citizenship and the fact that God has called you to be an ambassador to a fallen world. And when you do that and you say, yes, Lord, take me, he'll use you. And there's many different things you can do in the body of Christ. There's no limitations. No limitations. Talk to one of the elders here at Dunning Park. They can get you plugged in here. Come under the authority of a local church body wherever you're at, and you can make an impact. You can make an impact. An impact for eternity. And it's so important, too, to be faithful on a daily basis. Don't think that you can just do one great act of sacrifice a year and that'll be fine. Because, you know, there's always people looking at you. They'll see that great sacrifice, but they'll think, yeah, but you're usually this kind of person. And it doesn't really maybe have the effect that you want it to be. Well, there is a way, and it's God's way, and it's to be faithful on a daily basis. You can do it. Life is short. You know, it says, people have taken polls saying that maybe 10 to 20% of the people that do, or if you take a church, it's 10 to 20% of the people that do the work. You know, let's as a church body pick that number up in 2015. There's work that can be done. You make a difference when you stand before the Lord in the way in which you use your gifts and your talent. It'll impact your reward, but it also impact the world. It will impact the world. You'll impact the world as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that will have eternal dividends. But you know what? It also has blessing now on the earth as well. Don't forget that. So we need to remember, Israel was chided for bringing the weak and the sick as sacrifices to the Lord. We're called to make ourselves a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is our reasonable or spiritual worship. If you are a Christian, you need to serve the Lord. Don't wait. Don't do it half-heartedly. Do it. Do it. So, in summary, we're citizens of heaven. We have a great foundation with which to serve the Lord. We are ambassadors. We represent God in this world. We live in a beautiful but fallen world. As children of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're strangers and aliens sent to proclaim a gospel of peace, peace between God and man. But we must beware to abstain from fleshly lusts that can affect our ministry. That means maybe controlling the internet. That means maybe controlling where you go or who you hang out with. More importantly, what you do when you hang out with people. Don't, you know, take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9 maybe as you reflect on this year and looking forward to next year like the Apostle Paul did. He did not want to be disqualified from the ministry. We want to finish strong. Remember, too, our personal ministry is not forever. We're all going to die. We need to number our days and do the best that we can for the Lord. We fail at times, but He's able to make beauty out of ashes. We reap what we sow, but God is able to take a repentant heart and turn a God-dishonoring choice around for His glory to give you joy and peace. You may live with the wounds, but you're going to see God work. Don't believe the lie of the devil that because you sinned, there is no hope for you. If you're alive today, you're alive because God wants you alive. You're alive because God wants to do a work in and through you. It's not over, like Yogi Berra used to say, it's not over till it's over. Not over till it's over. We got to finish well. He honors steps of faith. Read Hebrews chapter 11. You know the one thing about Hebrews chapter 11? You can go back to the Old Testament and you see all the flaws of those people. You can see the flaws of Abraham. You can see the flaws of David, of Jacob, of so many people, of Solomon. but they're recognized as great people of faith because at some point they turned around. And you can turn around as well if that's what you need. Let's close in prayer. Our Father and God, we just thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. As we come to the end of this year, as we move on to 2015, we just pray, Lord, that we would commit ourselves to follow you with a whole heart. And we know, Father, that we're weak. We know that we're prone to sin, our Father. But that's where we need to rely on you in the work of your most Holy Spirit. So we just thank you for this time, praying your blessing upon each of us as we would leave, as we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Meeting's ended.